Each week, your favorite TV show features stars, guest stars, and often some cameo appearances. And while brief, those cameos play an important role in the story being told. Same could be said about the story of Jesus. There's the obvious star, the co-stars, and cameos. The name of Joseph, for example, plays the role in two cameos. At the end of the story of Jesus, a man named Joseph went to Pontius Pilate after Jesus was crucified, asked for his body, and placed it in the tomb. Then at the beginning of the story of Jesus, another man named Joseph was asked to be the earthly father of Jesus. Yet so little is known about him, as he's cast in a cameo in the biblical texts, or so we think. My next guest sought to add to what is known about the earthly father of Jesus through study and research. He does indeed widen our knowledge via his book, The Forgotten Man of Christmas, Joseph's Story. We say hello to Dr. Howard Eddington. Thank you for being here today, sir.
Thank you, Chris. I appreciate this opportunity and wish you a Merry Christmas.
And likewise for you and your family. The Forgotten Man of Christmas.com is the website. You learn more about this fantastic book of history and lessons and what we often refer to as fragments of biblical history. You make it a more concrete foundation. What was it that compelled you to take on the study that you did with the story of Joseph?
Well, it actually arose out of great personal pain, I must tell you. My wife, Tricia, and I lost our 22-year-old son, John David, to an automobile accident right at Christmas time. In fact, it was December the 21st. And we then were left with the challenge of trying to turn an unbearable grief into bearable sorrow. And one day, Tricia said to me, "You know, John David loved Christmas and you love Christmas. Why don't you write a Christmas book?" Well, that triggered the whole process. And so I began to look into things more carefully at that point and realized that we know so much about other figures in the original Christmas story, but Joseph is just simply almost invisible. And then it dawned on me that in the Bible, he never speaks a word. Not a single word comes from his mouth. And yet his actions turn out to speak volumes. And so that's what I chose to focus on, was the actions that he performed in the face of really, really difficult and challenging situations. The Gospel of Matthew makes it clear that God spoke to Joseph in four separate dreams in Matthew 1 and 2. And those dreams, each of the four, marks the beginning of a segment of Joseph's journey through those early days in the life of Mary and Jesus. And the whole story takes on new life for me when you begin to imagine what he was having to deal with and the challenges that he faced. And I actually have come to the conclusion that Joseph, while he never utters a word, is an ideal husband and an ideal father, the perfect choice for God to make as God chose him to be the earthly father of Jesus.
Certainly, when you think of the magnitude of, it wasn't like this was a surprise. God taps Joseph on the shoulder and says, "I've got something I need you to do." Where you think in the here and now, how many of us would say, "Really, I'm out of here."
Yeah, right. And when you stop to think, he was approximately 20 years old, just an ordinary carpenter, had not had to deal with anything of this magnitude before, and all of a sudden, there it is. And that's what dawned on me, was this is a man of extraordinary faith. He just simply believed. He took the directive of God to heart, and he did what God instructed him to do, and that led to a really remarkable journey.
So often people have talked about the quote-unquote missing years of Jesus, where we know so little about his later youth, his teen years. And can we gather through what we concretely and what you present in The Forgotten Man of Christmas, Joseph's story, through Joseph, come to the understanding that he was a great father and a mentor for Jesus?
I think there is no question of that. And in the last section of the book, I actually take and articulate, attempt to the characteristics and qualities that so marked Jesus' life, and then impute those back to Joseph, and try to imagine how it is that Joseph would have influenced the development of those characteristics and qualities in Jesus himself. And that's where I come to the conclusion that he was an extraordinary earthly father.
So, in effect, for Jesus to become to fulfill what his destiny was as the Savior, which the Old Testament long called for, would that have been possible without Joseph in the picture?
No, it would not. Joseph is in the genealogy, and Matthew makes it clear. Joseph is in the line of King David. And as a matter of fact, this is one of the things that I have discovered, which kind of blew me away. If Israel at that point in time had been self-governed, and if they had continued the line of the kings of Israel and hadn't been conquered by other forces from outside, if you look at the genealogy, Joseph is descended from David's son Solomon. That's the royal line. It is quite conceivable that if Israel had been self-governed, that Joseph would have been the king of Israel. An amazing thought. But as it turns out, he was simply an ordinary carpenter in a little town called Nazareth, and yet God chose him. And I think it's important to remember that when Jesus wanted us to understand what God is like, Jesus said God is like a strong, brave, tender, loving, understanding father. I submit to you, where would Jesus have learned that if not from Joseph?
Dr. Howard Eddington, his book, The Forgotten Man of Christmas, Joseph's Story, theforgottenmanofchristmas.com is the website. You can get your copy of this very enlightening and educational book. No matter how much of a biblical scholar you think you are, Dr. Eddington helps you understand the pieces of the jigsaw puzzle about the character of Joseph, and you're listening to Issues and Ideas. And I think, too, what's confused people for so long between so much is known of Mary and up to now with your book, little known about Joseph, the times and the ways they were back then, men were far more prevalent and more valued, I guess, for lack of a better phrase, and women were always castigated to the background. It almost would be, the expectations would have been the roles to be reversed.
Yes, absolutely.
Now, as far as God's, Joseph's dreams, and when we say the word dreams, as they're said in the Bible, it's not really a dream imagining or internal wishing. This was a conversation with that God had with Joseph. This wasn't something Joseph dreamed. It was God coming to Joseph.
Correct. And if our human dreams are kind of flights of fantasy, but in the Bible, whenever God got ready to do something significant, he used dreams to communicate to the people he was putting in place to accomplish that, whether it was Moses or Daniel or David or Joseph in the Old Testament and then Joseph in the New Testament. Every time something significant is about to occur, God communicates directly with the person or people involved. And in this case, it was a simple, ordinary carpenter in a little town of Nazareth.
And the dreams themselves, looked at in their context, they're basically the story within the story. They had the beginning, the middle, the end, and they're
correct.
They're alerting, stabilizing, empowering, and rewarding.
Absolutely the truth. Yes. Perfect analysis. Thank you.
As I said to Dr. Eddington off the air, as much as I've read the Bible, it's like I'm reading for the first time now with the greater knowledge this aspect of the story. Translating the lessons of yesterday to today's life is always difficult for people because they think, well, it's almost like comparing Babe Ruth to Derek Jeter in baseball. Well, that was a different game back then versus now, so you can't compare the two and can't connect the two. But as far as what Joseph experienced, learned, and gained, well, first of all, maybe we should learn the lesson, too, that maybe we don't always have to talk to be shown to be wise. I guess we one lesson from Joseph to begin with. But
yes.
Translating the lessons into today's life, what's one of the best avenues you could offer a reader to help make that connection?
I sound like I'm placing huge emphasis on this, but I do it deliberately. Joseph had nothing to do with the biological process that brought Jesus into the world, but he had everything to do with Jesus becoming who he became as Savior of the world. And so in our time, the whole concept of fatherhood is being diminished in so many ways, and we wind up paying a heavy price for that. And if this look at the Christmas story through the eyes of Joseph could help us to recapture that notion of the nobility of fatherhood and put that into play in the society of which we are part, I think we would actually be much better off and much blessed.
And all throughout The Forgotten Man of Christmas, Joseph Story, Dr. Eddington, does indeed inject more contemporary examples of people who met challenges, answered challenges, and learned from challenges, which, again, is something way too many people tend to avoid because, well, it's not always the easiest time in life to learn from challenges because you're dealing with them, but there are lessons to be held, and sometimes those challenges are brought to you for those specific lessons so that you can become a teacher for others in your life and the rest of the world as well. It's definitely a book of enlightenment and just a greater understanding of one of, as the title says, a forgotten man. I'll add to it, a forgotten great man of Christmas, Joseph Story. Yes. TheForgottenManOfChristmas.com is the website. You can get your copy of the book, learn more about it as well. I recommend highly that you do add this to your library and share it with as many people as you can, not just during the Christmas season, but all through the year. TheForgottenManOfChristmas.com. And again, the website, Dr. Howard Eddington, thank you for giving us this new view of this great man. Thank you for being here today.
Thank you, sir. I'm very grateful for the opportunity, and I appreciate what you're doing to bring enlightenment and encouragement to people.